It's a good trick to be able to make a long story short. Better even to be able to decide shrewdly as the story races along which parts must be included, which can be deleted, and which can be used to whet the listener's appetites for another story later. So, when I talk today for a moment about toast and tea as a sort of prelude to delivering the only authorized and comprehensive history of the dogs of Doggerland, as commanded by the great high and humble Dogger, I hope you won't imagine for a moment that the snack is as good as the feast, or that wading in as far as your ankles with pants rolled up is the same as a good long splash that requires a thorough aftershake, because it isn't, and it doesn't, and it won't, and it couldn't, if you know what I mean. I must speak hedgingly and in generalities. I must turn circle after circle to gauge the wind, and grip the grass sure-footedly. The language of dogs is all cloud and shimmer to me right now, so I'll gesture this, but also that, and for safety's sake, sprinkle maybes liberally. It's the only way, though it may offend the specifics and those who specialize in urgent buts, and don't forget, don't be one of those. My Rue de la Rue Swanzor is helping me understand. Buttered toast is the favorite food of dogs. So much so that phrases like, he is made of toast and she is all butter and crust, crust being the best part of toast as far as most dogs are concerned, and they are well browned on both sides, are among the highest compliments one can offer among dogs, and many of their colloquialisms derive from processes involved in the careful singeing of bread, the churning of butter, the division of food into slices, and so on. A thick slicer, for example, is a generous dog, and at the same time, perhaps a gluttonous one. You have to interpret it in context, of course, while considering rhythm, pitch, and so on. A dog might say, he has a toothsome crunch about him. Or a dog with a crush might similarly and admiringly say, her ears fill my nose with butter. And you can imagine for yourself some of the insults from the opposite perspective. But just to make that easy and to start you off with a resolute and confident stride, there's surf toast, which is soggy, unsatisfying, inedible, wet mush. There's over-toasted, which, I mean, obviously, and there's unbuttered, to name a few. You never, if you're a dog, want the word unbuttered associated with your name. So toast is the favorite bite, more or less, but what liquid refreshment is preferred for washing down all that crumbly stuff? Here's the basic recipe. Fetch a bucket of water from the ocean, and maybe a dozen buckets from the river where it's deep, from the eddy where the current spins and reckons before it turns. Add a pile of bones. Some dogs like to add a few mossy stones. Boil. You may certainly adjust the quantity of water or the ratio of salt to fresh or make any modification you wish. If you're lucky enough to be drawing your broth at the mouth of a river that flows into the ocean, you may find your perfect blend a few steps from shore, a mile out or somewhere in between. Some dogs of the chase claim river mouth tea is ideal because it's mixed by natural currents. Rue says that's a lot of hooey, and it all tastes the same to her. To be sure, though, connoisseurs enjoy their specialty teas of various kinds. For centuries in Doggerland, the chase's hunting grounds nested and fed extravagant populations of waterfowl, eider, smew, loon, merganser, goose, and so on, honking and quacking from whiskers to sundown. Dogs of great nose learned to combine subtle flavors of beak and bone in exacting proportions. They added exotic tastes by including wing feathers that retained the savor of African marshes or tail feathers to which mellow Pyrenees valley airs still clung. Some of the greatest dogs, dogs whose tails and tails are honored and imitated, are memorialized by having teas named after them. Long Sands Sunny Bufflehead Tea, Gravel Rack Muddy Sticks Roe Neck and Flapper Tea, short-nosed stinkhorn, Pete's chase tea, and so on, way off into the high sedge of centuries. Rocky Face's long chase tea is what all the dogs drink, though. It's the go-to everyday tea, and it is marked with the paw print of the great high and humble dogger. At my house now, I never know when the dogs will arrive, but I know when they do, I want to have enough toast for the emissaries of the chase, not to mention plenty of tea, so they'll be comfortable while discussing the great project and all of their other concerns and interests. But I'll have to leave that for next time. The great project. Just wanted to let you know the dogs of the Chase in Exile have won a great project that'll really surprise you. And if you have a dog at your house, or two, or several, you should be sure to give him some toast, or her, or them, preferably crusty, with plenty of warm melted butter in the crumb. I'm John Perry for the Dogs of the Chase in Exile with Rue de la Rue, Swanzor by order of the great, high, and humble dogger. Thanks for listening.